Let's look now into the Word of God together. If you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open to Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke is the third gospel in the New Testament. If you find Matthew, make your way back, Mark, and then Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, looking at the story of Zacchaeus this morning as we shout Hosanna to the King, the one who came to seek and save the lost. Story is told by Brennan Manning in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, of a man who had sinned greatly. And as a result, his church had excommunicated him and forbidden him to ever return to the church again. After some time, the man had come to his senses and he repented and he wanted and so deeply desired healing from the Lord that he went back to the church, but no one would have any desire to have any contact with him once again, as they had forbidden him to never return. And so the man, heartbroken, went to the Lord and said, "Lord, they won't let me in. I so desperately want restoration. I so desperately want healing." And the Lord replied to him, "Why are you complaining? They don't want me in there either." And it's a rather amusing response from the Lord in that story, but yet a very sad response. Because our world is full of people who desperately desire transformation. We are feeling and seeing the transformation and the salvation that only the Lord can bring very desperately in our world today with coronavirus. Our world is crying out for a solution to this virus, and no one likes the disruption that is caused. And so we're crying out to the Lord for salvation. Lord, save us. Israel cried, "Lord, save us." But as they were crying Hosanna on that Palm Sunday, as Jesus was riding in triumphantly, they weren't saying, "Save us from our sins." They were saying, "Save us from these Roman oppressors." And if we're not careful, we can cry out, "Hosanna, save us, have mercy on us, O Jesus, deliver us," but have our need for salvation and what we are crying out for only around the circumstance. Lord, save us from coronavirus. Save us from the ways that it is disrupting our lives. And if we do that only, we will be no different than Israel. Jesus, after riding in, we're told in Matthew, wept over the city. Even in the midst of their celebration, he wept because they did not receive him for who he was, the Savior of their soul. That church in that opening story that Brennan Manning told did not receive the Lord for the salvation that he desired to bring them either, which is why they did not welcome that repentant sinner in need of healing. See, they missed, and if we're not careful, we might miss too, the greatest need for salvation and transformation, and that is the salvation and transformation of our souls. Zacchaeus is a wonderful story because it reminds us that Jesus, his grand mission was not to deliver us from circumstance. Though he has the power to do that, and though he will often do that, and though we still pray that he would deliver us from the circumstances of coronavirus, but he's after a greater salvation. He's after a greater deliverance. He's after a greater transformation. And that is the salvation and the transformation of our souls. For in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." See, let's not miss this morning the main point of the story of Zacchaeus of Luke chapter 19, summary verse that encapsulates the mission of why Jesus came. And that is that Jesus, our Savior, came to seek and to save the lost. And the result is radical transformation. Once again, Jesus, our Savior, came to seek and to save the lost, and the result is radical transformation. Let's look at the story together, beginning in verse 1 of Luke 19, and then we'll look at three responses this morning from the story. Beginning in Luke 19, verse 1, it says, "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through." Stop right there. It says that Jesus was passing through and that he entered Jericho as he was passing through. But understand that because of verse 10, that Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, Jesus never just passed through. Jesus wasn't just happenstance coming upon Jericho. Everywhere Jesus went, it was purposeful. It was intentional. It was because of the mission of seeking and saving the lost. The Father was always at work, and Jesus was always joining in what the Father was doing. So even though it's recorded that he was passing through Jericho, I truly believe that this was not just a pass-through. This was a divine appointment for one man, Zacchaeus. In verse 2, it says, as we are delivered, or as we are introduced more to Zacchaeus, it says, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, so that would tell us several things. One, that he was probably a very hated and despised man. He was a Jew, but he was working for the Roman oppressors as a tax collector. Not only was he a tax collector, but it says that he was a chief tax collector, which meant that not only did he do the job of tax collecting, but he had worked really hard at it. He had worked his way up the corporate ladder, so to speak. He was successful in his field of work. He was a hard worker, moving up and up and up. Because of that position, and because of what tax collectors often would do, they would not only take a little bit for what they were required to collect for the Romans, but they would also add a little bit more for themselves in addition to their pay. And so they were often looked at as cheaters of their people, not just those who had aligned with the oppressors of Rome, but those who also would cheat their own people. And so the combination of his position and the combination of most likely his cheating habits made Zacchaeus, we are told, a wealthy man. Now, it's very interesting that the name Zacchaeus means pure or innocent. Zacchaeus, however, was not living according to his name. Zacchaeus was not living pure and innocent. Zacchaeus was living a life that was anything but. Moving on to verses 3-6, it says this. He wanted to see Jesus, or see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus was curious. He wanted to see who Jesus was. He heard all about him. There was a great crowd around, but we're told that Zacchaeus was a short man. If you remember the story of the song growing up in church, if you grew up in church, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We're told that because he was short and could not see over the crowd, he found the closest tree near him, which was a sycamore fig tree, and climbed up enough that he was able to see over the crowd and see Jesus. Now, as it happened, Jesus was walking by, and as he came to that sycamore fig tree where Zacchaeus was up in, he stopped. And because he was about seeking and saving the lost, he looked up into that tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. And notice he didn't say, hey, tax collector, come down. Notice he just didn't say, hey, you up there, come down here. No, he looked up into that tree and he called Zacchaeus by name. He did not call him according to how he was living. He called him according to who he intended him to be, pure and innocent. Zacchaeus, immediately, we are told, came down and he welcomed Jesus into his home gladly. Verses 7-10, The story finishes with this record. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now naturally the people were angry about this. "Jesus, how could you go to the house of a sinner? Don't you know who this man is?" But Zacchaeus stands up and he says, "Jesus, I am going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything in my tax collecting, I will pay them back four times the amount that I have cheated them from." Talk about radical transformation. Zacchaeus was a radically transformed man. So transformed in his heart that outwardly he responded, while everyone was criticizing Jesus for going to the house of a sinner, Zacchaeus demonstrated faith and repentance and obedience to the Lord and said, "Lord, you have made such a difference in my life. I want to be yours. I want to live according to my name, pure and innocent. And so I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone, I'll give them back four times what I cheated them from." That is a radically transformed man. Jesus' response in verse 9, you can almost hear it. It's almost like laughter, joyful laughter in Jesus' voice. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." What a joyful moment for Jesus. To see his mission being fulfilled as he was marching towards the cross, to see this man Zacchaeus have a radically transformed encounter with Jesus that would change his life forever. And Jesus declares, "Today, salvation has come to this man's house. For this man, too, is a son of Abraham, a person of covenant." Radical transformation. For Jesus, our Savior, came to seek and to save the lost. And the results when a person encounters Christ is radical transformation. As we're in this series on stories of hope, what hope there is for radically changed, transformed, saved lives that only Jesus can bring. Three responses this morning I would like to walk through just for a few moments of application from this story in Luke chapter 19. The first is, be transformed by Jesus. Be transformed by Jesus. Through Zacchaeus' actions and through what Jesus did in his life, I believe there are a couple lessons that we can learn here on what it looks like to be transformed by Jesus in this response step. The first is to recognize Jesus as he seeks and as he calls you. Just as Jesus sought after Zacchaeus, and not just a chance encounter, but I believe in a divine, purposeful encounter on this mission to seek and to save the lost, Zacchaeus was called by name. And friends, if you are listening today, if you are watching today, I want you to know that this is not just a chance encounter. You are not watching or listening just by accident. This is because Jesus is seeking after you. Would you just stop for a moment and would you recognize and take this moment in for what it is? Jesus is seeking you. Jesus is calling you. And he doesn't call you by the sinful things that you are or have been involved in. He calls you by name. The book of Revelation tells us that we will get a new name, a name that only God knows, a redeemed, purified name. Friends, in these days of coronavirus where we are isolated and exiles at home, it's an opportunity for us to stop and to slow down. And in these moments of slowing down, may it be a moment today, may it be a moment in the week ahead, especially as we look forward to Resurrection Sunday and as we reflect on Good Friday and the work of Jesus on the cross. May it be a moment where we recognize that Jesus is seeking. He's calling us to himself. If you're a believer in Christ, rejoice. But if it's the first time you've ever really comprehended that, Jesus is seeking. He's calling you by name, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Second, a response that we can have as we look to be transformed by Jesus, and that is to respond to Jesus in obedience. When Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house," it says immediately he came down. There will be responses that you will need to take. Faith-filled, obedient responses. You will need to turn away from your trust in yourself and in obedience turn to trust in Christ and Christ alone. Come out of your shame. Come out of your guilt. Come out of your hiding, because Jesus is inviting you as he seeks and as he calls you. Come in obedience to him. Respond to his seeking. Respond to his calling out of your name. And then a third step that we can take in response of being transformed by Jesus, and that is to repent of and confess our sin. Zacchaeus confessed his sin, and he acted in radical repentance through his actions. Those actions of giving up half of his possessions to the poor and giving back four times what he cheated to anyone that he had cheated. That was radical repentance. That was radical confession. His actions were demonstrating the radical change, the radical transformation of his heart. Friends, salvation without transformation is no salvation at all. Let me say that again. Salvation without transformation is no salvation at all. If you would acknowledge today that I'm saved, I believe in Jesus, but there has not been visible or seen transformation of your life, then may I encourage you in these days of more isolation and slowing down that you seriously ask the Lord, have I just had a belief about Jesus, or have I encountered the person Jesus? Because whenever a person in the scriptures encountered Jesus, there was radical transformation if they were truly transformed. They didn't just have an encounter that left them the way they were before. They had an encounter with the living Christ that radically transformed them and set their life on a new trajectory. Zacchaeus is a wonderful example of this. Does your life have to look the same way that Zacchaeus's did? No. But I'm a firm believer, and I believe the scriptures teach that if we have truly met Jesus in a saving, life-transforming way, we will not be the same. And if we are the same, then I believe we truly need to look at our lives and say, Jesus, have you saved me? Jesus, do I truly belong to you? And if not, today is a wonderful day to say, Jesus, I repent. I confess. I turn from myself to you. I ask that you transform me. I ask that you save me. I cry out, Hosanna, save me. I trust in your work on the cross. I believe your death paid for my sin. I repent. I trust in you. Save me. Come make your home in me. Come have your way in my life. Jesus will always answer that prayer, because it's why he came. He came to seek and to save what was lost. Second response. First response, be transformed by Jesus. The second response, be continually transformed by Jesus. Now, we don't hear of Zacchaeus again in Scripture, but I can guarantee you that he still had issues. He still had issues that needed to be worked out. He was a transformed man, but he was not a finished product. You and I were not finished products. I believe that you can agree with me on that. There's still work to be done in our lives. In Scripture, it talks about salvation and have been, are being, and will be saved. Have been, are being, and will be saved. The have been saved is a positional salvation. When you placed your faith and your trust in Christ, there was a positional salvation work that was done in your life. There was a transformation that happened. We have been saved. But there is a second part of salvation, and that is an are being saved. This is what we might call sanctification. This is allowing the sanctifying salvation work of God to touch our lives more and more and more, to transform us in ever-increasing ways, to make us more like Jesus. And one day, we will be fully saved, either on the day that Jesus returns for us or the day that we pass from this life into the next. We will be fully saved. This idea of be continually transformed by Jesus is that middle position, that sanctifying work. This is for all believers who have been transformed but are still being transformed to be like Jesus more and more. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, I invite you to look there for a moment. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, as it speaks of when it comes to being continually transformed by Jesus, of working out your salvation. To be continually transformed, it's a have been, are being, will be saved, but it's also a work out your salvation. Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. We are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, though it's not about earning it. It's already been given to us in Christ. We have been saved. Rather, it is about cooperating with the work of Jesus in our lives. It is living a continual, faith-filled, obedient life to allow the saving work of Christ to touch and to transform our lives in ever-increasing ways. Another way to say this might be that we would cooperate with what Jesus is doing now. Cooperate with what Jesus is doing now. See, these days of coronavirus and all that goes along with it can reveal to us what areas of our lives Jesus may be wanting to transform in a fresh way, an area that we need continual transformation in. For example, many people today are dealing with fear, are dealing with worry, are dealing with anxiety, and for good reason. The world is in chaos right now. The stock market is going down. Unemployment is up. Many people are dying. The situation is dire, and the reasons for fear and worry and anxiety are real. But when we are experiencing fear and worry and anxiety and not able to put them in their right place, it may show to us that we have a lack of trust in the Lord. Maybe we are dealing with unbelief, not believing that he truly is able and he has this situation, even though it seems out of control. Maybe it is showing to us that I am or you are really trying to control things. And friends, we're not God. We can't control it. And the more we try to and realize we don't, the worry and the anxiety and the fear just increases. So today may be a day where you are realizing that fear and worry and anxiety are pointing to something that Jesus is saying, I want to transform that more through this. Let's lean into it, cooperate with me, spend time with me, and let's do that work. work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe a symptom is criticism of our leaders in our world today. You know, it's okay to disagree with the steps that are being taken with social isolation and all of these kinds of things. It's okay to disagree, but when it becomes critical, when it becomes slanderous of them, when it becomes bad-mouthing leaders, or when it flat out becomes, I'm not going to do it, it points to areas of pride. It points to areas of even a rebellious heart attitude or other motives that are deeper that Jesus may be saying to us, I want to do some work in that area. There may be other things that are rising to the surface that are pointing out, but cooperate with what Jesus is doing now. Because he is a God, as we cry out, Hosanna, who wants to continually transform us. Friends, this is an area that we can often neglect in our walk with God. This continual transformation can become an area that we neglect. We put our faith on cruise control. We live off of testimonies of what God has done in us, rather than what he is doing in us now. Recently, I was in the midst of counseling with a person, and we were talking about ways in which God was working in their life and what God was doing in the continuous transformation of their life. And as we were talking, I was giving some illustrations from my own life of how God has transformed me, parallel ways that God had worked and was working in their lives. And I was giving some testimonies of what God had done. And in that moment of counseling, the Holy Spirit whispered to me. He said, Mark, your stories are getting old. And I knew exactly what he meant. See, unintentionally over time, I had been living off of what God had done in my life. And they were wonderful stories of testimony of the way he had transformed me more to be like Jesus. But it had been some time since there had been fresh stories of what God had just done in my life, what God was doing to transform me more into the image and likeness of his son, Jesus. Friends, let's use this time to lean in, if you're a believer in Jesus, to not live off of what he has done, but that we would be cooperating with him for what he is doing. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, came to transform us more to be like Christ. Friends, salvation without ongoing transformation is stagnant salvation. Salvation without ongoing transformation is stagnant salvation. Brothers and sisters, the good news is Jesus wants to work in fresh ways. Let's take advantage of these days and let us allow him to continually transform us in new and in fresh ways. Third response, and we'll wrap up with this. Be part of Jesus' transformation in others. Be part of Jesus' transformation in others. As we do that, there's an expectation we should have. We should expect salvation to spill over to others through our lives. See, salvation came not just to Zacchaeus, but we're told also to his whole household, his entire family, his servants even. His salvation and transformation from Jesus spilled over to those around him. Like a rock or a pebble being dropped in a pond and the ripple effect going out. Your life and my life should be like a ripple effect. The salvation that we receive, the ongoing continual transformation that comes to our lives should have a ripple effect. It should spill over into the lives of others around us. So in order to do that, join in what Jesus is doing in others. Join in what Jesus is doing in others. With that expectation, join with what Jesus is up to. If Jesus really is about the mission of seeking and saving what was lost, and the result is radical transformation in people around you, don't you think he's at work in someone around you? Don't you think that in whether it's a family member or a neighbor or a coworker, even though you may not be with them every day, don't you think he's up to something in their life if they don't know Christ already? So allow what he is doing, join in with him that we might be a part of Jesus' transforming work in others. You see, brothers and sisters, transformation work that is not spilling over into the lives of other people is simply self-centered salvation. Transformation work that is not spilling over into others' lives is simply self-centered salvation. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to be people who are about joining in what he is doing in other people's lives, being part of Jesus' transformation in others. This week, I was listening to a pastor, and he was sharing his perspective of what he believed the Lord was saying and doing. And what he believed the Lord was saying is that we are in a season with this coronavirus and people having to stay home, that we are in a divine reset for the church. Now, I don't know if that's fully true, but it resonated with me a lot, that we're in a divine reset for the church, that we've been doing many, many things, but that we always have not been about his things. We've been about many things as a church and as his people, but we have not necessarily always been about his things. See, God has always been about his mission. Jesus has continued to seek and to save the lost by his Spirit's work around us, but we may not have always been aware of what he is doing around us. So in this season of divine reset for the church, let's give some attention to the fresh transformation that he wants to bring in our lives. Because out of the fresh transformation that he brings in our lives, we will begin to see with greater clarity how he is working in the unsaved people around us and how he is inviting us to join in with him in that transforming, saving work that he is desiring to do in people around us. And so, friends, let's take advantage as we settle down as exiles at home from last week's message, to be people who are leaning into the Lord well, who are allowing him to bring fresh transformation. Even as we cry, Hosanna, save us from coronavirus. Save us from the situation that we do not want. May it be even more, Lord, save me in fresh ways. Lord, transform me radically in fresh ways. May your salvation touch me in ways it hasn't already. And may you use me to be a part of your salvation work in the lives of people around me for your glory and the advancement of your kingdom. May the Lord bring radical transformation, because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and the result is always radical transformation. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for coming. Coming to this earth, giving up the glories of heaven, taking on humanity just as we are, the fully God, taking on flesh. Thank you in this week as we celebrate Palm Sunday together, as we cry Hosanna to the King of Kings. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And as we look to this week, as think of Maundy Thursday and think of you're celebrating the Last Supper with your disciples, thinking about the horrific death that you suffered and you died in our place, but looking ahead to Resurrection Sunday and the victory of overcoming death, Jesus, we declare you as King. And Jesus, we ask that you would do a fresh, transforming work in our lives, that you would give us fresh testimonies, fresh stories of hope that would show your transforming power more and more and more. Change me, Lord. Change us. And Lord, through us, would you use us to be hands and feet, your hands and feet. For Jesus, you came to seek and to save the lost. You've been about doing it. May we be aware, and may we join you in what you're doing. For the glory of your name and the advancement of your kingdom, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless you this week. May he strengthen you deeply. May he lead you through this holy week, and may he give you fresh encounters with him as we celebrate and reflect upon his death, but as we look forward to celebrating the fact that our Savior is alive next Sunday. May he meet you in powerful ways. And may the one who we cry out to, Hosanna to the King of Kings, Hosanna, save us. May he bring his salvation to our country and to our world. May he bring the deepest salvation to our hearts. And may he use you this week to be ones who will share his mission, who will share his life-giving message that he is a God who has come in Jesus to seek and to save the lost, and that through him, radical transformation comes. May the Lord bless you with deeper transformation, and may he use you to be his hands and feet to bring transformation to the world. May the Lord bless you. You are sent this week.